All right, it's Momo in Ireland this week, and the NFL training camps are set to open at the end of this month. And in terms of what's going on with Aaron Rodgers, who's one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL, Ramon, it really depends on who you believe. Peyton Manning was at the Baseball Home Run Derby yesterday.
Yep.
And he sat down with the MLB Network. And, you know, Peyton talks to all these guys. He says Rodgers isn't going anywhere. Here's Peyton.
Hope he plays somewhere this year. The fact that Aaron Rodgers might not play this year is, I can't fathom it. He's too good of a player.
Yes.
Too fun to watch for the fans. I personally hope it's in Green Bay because that's what I see him as. I hope they can kind of make amends and work out. That team is so close. If he were to leave there, it'd be a major change, obviously, for them. So my gut is he's not coming to Denver. My gut is Denver's going to, you know, have Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater be their quarterback. And at this point, you kind of know what your plan is. We can't be having a new quarterback 3 weeks before the season.
Right. No, it's good. His hair is, you know, it's getting long. I almost didn't recognize. I was like, whoa, H. You like it?
I think it looks good.
See, I like the clean cut. Didn't look right on.
I think
he's too good looking.
I think he can throw the ball 80 yards with long hair or with short hair. Yeah, either way, he's good.
All right, so there's Peyton Manning. He thinks that Aaron Rodgers comes back to the Packers and plays. Now, Rodgers was at that celebrity golf tournament in Lake Tahoe last weekend. By the way, Ramona, did you see who won it?
No.
Vinny Del Negro.
Well, okay, I can see
Clippers
that.
Clippers coach.
Yeah, he's good.
Okay.
He's also had a lot of time on his hands.
Yeah.
Joe
Theismann, former NFL quarterback, Joe Theismann. He says Rodgers is not playing for the Packers anymore. Here's Theismann.
Basically, I think what he's saying in a nonverbal way is, look, you thought so much about the kid, you went and moved up to go get him. You didn't give us what I thought we needed. So if you wanted him, you got him. Let me go on and do something else. I would be surprised if he's a Green Bay Packer.
All right, so that was a courtesy of the Rich Eisen show. Ramona, what do you think? Aaron Rodgers has less than a month to decide what he's going to do. He's given no indication at all that he's going to cave to Packers management, but they also don't have to trade him. How does this end?
I think that he plays for the Packers this year. Just do. I think that he won't sit out. I think they'll tell him, like, hey, look, go out there and build back up your market value. Give us one more year and then we'll trade you after this year. And he'll go out there, he'll play whatever they do this year, and then they'll move him after this season. I just can't see Aaron Rodgers sitting out in a holdout. And I don't see them backing down either unless they get a really big offer. I mean, Peyton I don't want to say he's self-serving because he doesn't have any interest with the Broncos, but you know, there's teams that are going to make offers for Aaron Rodgers. It's just a question if any of them are good enough. I mean, you know, he'll almost maybe Aaron will pull a, you know, James Harden, who played for the Rockets this year, played in quote marks, right? Maybe he'll do that. But I just think Aaron's too much of a competitor. He's only got a few good years left. The Packers still have a really good team. They're in the NFC Championship last year. I mean, that's – you don't just walk away from that because you're upset.
Speaking of NFL quarterbacks, every year ESPN does rankings of quarterbacks. Who do you think is number one right now?
Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes.
All right. Who's two?
Brady. No, not Brady. Rodgers.
It's Rodgers at 37.
Wow.
So yeah, you could go out and get the second-ranked quarterback in the league.
Wow.
The guy right behind. And he's the reigning NFL MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know where he's playing. So that's pretty rare.
He's under contract with the Packers.
Right.
And unless they get an offer that really blows them away, which I don't think they will, I think he plays for them. Grudgingly.
So, by the way, ESPN surveyed more than 50 executives, coaches, scouts, players to help stack the top 10 players at quarterback. So, this is the second time they've done this. So, it's Mahomes 1, Rodgers 2. Who do you think's 3?
Russell Wilson.
It's Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, wow.
Yeah, they think he said Russell Wilson's 4.
Okay.
That was a good guess. Now, this is where it gets interesting. 5 is Josh Allen.
Oh, I don't know about that.
That's pretty high, huh?
It's pretty high, yeah. Lamar Jackson, no?
No, not yet. Number 6, Matt Stafford, Los Angeles Rams. Okay. Now, Dominique Foxworth says that you can't have Matt Stafford 6 and Dak Prescott 7. In other words, you can't put Stafford. I would put Stafford ahead of Prescott. If you had to win one game, yeah, would you rather have Matt Stafford or Dak Prescott?
Stafford. For now.
Yeah, I mean, so Prescott's coming off of a
Prescott's coming off an ankle injury. I mean,
yeah, and he's never won anything.
Yeah. You know, not even a playoff game.
Either is Stafford. All right, Lamar Jackson's 8. Justin Herbert, Los Angeles Chargers,
wow,
number 9.
That's pretty high.
And 10 is shocking. I wouldn't have put this guy in the top 20, but this is how well thought of he is around the league. Kyler Murray, Arizona.
Wow.
That's how many people are, you know.
So are we project, is it like the NBA rankings where they're, that when we do them, it's like supposed to be not just how good they are now, but their projections for the future, or no?
No, it's right
just
now.
Right now. Oof. Okay.
Yeah, it's how good they are right this second. And but think about that. So that puts Kyler Murray ahead of Matt Ryan, Derek Carr, Ben Roethlisberger, Ryan Tannehill, Joe Burrow, Kirk Cousins, Carson Wentz, Baker Mayfield. I mean,
I think I'm okay with that, actually.
Yeah, that's a lot of
like people. When you list those, I'm like, maybe Matt Ryan, you can make an argument, but Kyler Murray's he's pretty good. He's really productive.
But the biggest question mark about this entire NFL season is what happens with Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Okay, so I mentioned, Ramona, yesterday that I was going to do this. You know that I love bad reality TV shows.
I know you do.
I will
so
watch
much.
Almost anything.
You haven't gotten into Blow Deck yet, though.
No, I have. I'm all
okay.
in now.
Okay, good.
Love
yeah.
it. Yeah, great.
Yeah.
But and by the way, the minute you see that show is completely casted on if you're good looking or not. If you're good looking, there's a place for you on that boat. And you know, eventually they're all going to hook up because their working quarters. You're
yeah.
really crammed right into everybody. But here's one, and I need you and Lindsay to tell me if this is either the dumbest idea ever for a reality show or a little bit of genius. So you guys know that Bridgerton was a huge hit this year. I didn't watch it, Ramona. Did you?
Of course. I
Lisa
watched
did
it.
Too. She loved it.
I did not.
Yeah, Lisa loved it. Couldn't get enough of it. So basically, Bridgerton is like a show about royalty in the 1800s, right? Okay, so Peacock, which is NBC's streaming service, has a new reality dating show, Pride and Prejudice, an experiment in romance. One heroine will be searching for her very own Duke. The series, described as a time-traveling quest for love, will feature a group of men vying for the affections of one woman, which will be carried out in an environment resembling England circa 1810 to 1820. Lavish castle, carriage rides, balls, handwritten letters, and all. Momo, is this a hit or a miss?
That's a miss. That sounds
terrible.
I think
so too.
I got to be honest. Like, the reason Bridgerton works is because you have really good screenwriters who know how to write in that language, and also people who are that style of English, right? And you're just going to get a bunch of people trying to fake it, and it's going to be stupid. Right?
I completely agree. Jorge, in or out on the Pride and Prejudice dating show?
Way out, man. Not interested.
Yeah, me too.
Too complicated. Too complicated. We don't need all that.
All right,
I think they're running out of ideas.
Speaking of running out of ideas, did you hear what happened on The Bachelorette last night?
No, what happened?
All right, so the new Bachelorette is a girl named Katie Thurston.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I want you to hearken back to that Seinfeld episode called The Contest. Do you remember what the contest was about?
Give me a rough picture.
Okay, so you have to speak, because we work for Disney.
Mm-hmm.
You'll notice that I'm going to be speaking in code.
Okay.
The contest was a bet between Jerry, Elaine, Kramer, and George to see who could control themselves for the longest period of time.
Oh, got it.
Now, Katie Thurston.
Got it.
The new Bachelorette said last night on the show that she wants contestants to keep their hands out of their pants.
Their own pants, you mean?
Their own pants. She wants no self-gratification while they're living in the house. None. Good idea or bad idea if you're the bachelorette?
Oh, that's a terrible idea.
That's what I think.
That's a terrible idea. Like, first of all,
here's what she
said. At
some
point, it's not even going to be up to the guy. It's just going to happen.
Right.
Okay?
So here's what she said. I kind of had this idea I thought would be fun. Where the
fun is a one word for it. Yeah. Not.
Where the guys in the house all have to agree to withhold their self-care as long
self-care.
As possible, if you know what I mean. And like when she first said it, nobody knew what she was talking about. And now that they've figured it out, it is supposedly going to be part of the show moving forward. Now, I would tell her, you got to remember something about Mary?
Of course.
Well, can we remember the advice before Ben Stiller went out on his
big
date with Cameron Diaz?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a mistake by the Bachelorette.
You're just going to get a lot of really stressed out,
exactly.
angry, you know.
Lindsay, like, what do you think of this idea?
I think that, that woman who came up with the idea, the Bachelorette, needs to get a grip on life and not make everything all about her. Like, she thinks, like, oh, yep. I think this is going to be fun, and I'm going to do this thing. And, like, first of all, they're not going to listen to you. Like, I don't see how they're going to prove that these guys did otherwise, right?
Right.
And secondly, like, it just comes, to me, it comes across as a very, like, oh, it's all about me. It's all about me. Like, selfish, very
controlling.
Weird. Trying to flex
very controlling.
Yeah.
I think it's a bad idea, and I don't think it's going to work. It has the added element it's not going to work.
What are they going to do? Put like cameras in the showers? And
well, they
sure
do have cameras everywhere, but in the bathrooms now.
Well, there you go.
Well, I mean.
So, I mean, you could theoretically monitor it, but I don't know. All right.
I think you're right. It's all about her, and it's also very controlling. And to me, that'd be a huge red flag if I was a dude. Like, okay, I'm out. Like, you're not that special. I mean, we just met. We're on a reality show. We just met. Come on.
I know. Maybe just.
They're already probably going through something of a drought being on the show.
All right.
Can't date other people.
You'll be shocked to hear this, Ramona, but as we've talked about, the baseball All-Star game is tonight.
Yeah.
By the way, you can hear the All-Star game here on 710 ESPN right after we're done. As soon as we get off the air, All-Star pregame starts, and then the first pitch, Shohei Ohtani, is going to be the starting pitcher for the American League. Max Scherzer, the starting pitcher for the National League. So Scherzer will throw the first pitch to Ohtani, who's batting first a little after 5 o'clock, and you can hear it all here on 710 ESPN. Rob Manfred yesterday at a press conference said two things that I think, shockingly, are going to be a mistake. Changes in baseball coming forward next year. We'll share those with you coming up next. Radio Tinder later this hour. We'll get Lindsay in here, and she's got some stuff she wants us to react to. And Game of Games today, by the way, that'll be in the next hour, is Ramona's game. And you claim, Ramona, that you've done a large amount of prep for this.
Yeah, well, I figured we had the baseball All-Star game, so we're going to do a baseball-themed Game of Games.
Excellent.
And I think it'll be fun. I think. I don't know. You never know how these things go when I do.
Yeah, you never know. Never know until.
Might be way too easy. Might be, you know.
All right, so we'll tell you what Rob Manfred's thinking coming up next on the day of the baseball All-Star game in which Shohei Ohtani is the featured star on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, this week it's Momo and Ireland. Ramona Shelburne's filling in for Mace. And so Rob Manfred, every year when the commissioner comes out for the All-Star game or for the finals or for the World Series, he'll do a press conference. And so there's a couple of things that Rob Manfred said today that I wasn't crazy about. I want to see if you agree. I want to open the phones on this. I want to know what baseball fans think. 877 877- 710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. We want to hear from you if you're a baseball fan. Ramona, they made these changes to get ready for the COVID season. And I got to tell you, I like them. For example, the extra inning rule, as soon as a game goes extra innings, they start with a guy on second base. I like that rule. I think it's added a ton of excitement to the game. Nobody wants to hang around for 13 or 14 innings. He says they're going to eliminate it. What do you think?
I never liked the rule. Sorry, I'm like a tradition. I'm a very traditionalist when it comes to baseball. So I didn't like the rule. I hate those long games, but, you know, you really should be able to push a run across. Like, I've been involved in a lot of those in softball, too, and it would always end up being, you know, 11 or 12 innings, and then somebody would make an error, and that sucked. But I hated it more when they artificially juiced the situation to put a runner on second. I didn't like that.
Completely disagree. I never want to hang around for a 14-inning game. And now, on the same vein, he says he wants to eliminate the seven-inning doubleheaders. I liked the seven-inning doubleheaders. What do you think?
I'm a traditionalist. Sorry.
Oh, God, Rob Manfred, like, he must have been in his ear.
I just like the way things have been. I think baseball is one of those things, like, yeah, it's good to the seven-inning doubleheader is, like, it's really changing the game. Like, then don't play two. Don't play a doubleheader.
That's fine, but sometimes you have to.
Yeah, every once in a while. Last year they had to do it because there was just a condensed schedule and there was all these games that got postponed with COVID. But this year, they don't really need to do that. You have some weather delays, but that's about it. They don't have the same outbreaks that
we did last year. Here's the one they're talking about adding, which I am very up for and excited about.
Okay.
They're going to ban the shift. Okay, so the defensive shift, which drives me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't think we need more defense. I think the second baseman and the first baseman should be required to be on the right side of second base, and the shortstop and the third baseman should be required to be on the left side. I think that's the only rule you need. If you want to move one of your infielders, you want to move your left fielder to shallow right and put nobody in left field, go ahead. But I don't want to see five infielders on the right side of second base. You were you played college softball at the highest level. What do you think?
I'm the opposite, too. Sorry, I'm such a
traditionalist. What is wrong with you today?
No, it drives me nuts when I see it. I go, if I'm hitting and they put everyone on the left side of the defense or everyone on the right side, all you got to do is just drive the ball.
But nobody does it.
Right. And so to me, it's like somebody's got to make an adjustment here. Like, don't try to hit it through there. And it drives me nuts that hitters don't do it. The only way you can get them to stop doing a shift on you is to start taking that what they give you. John, it's a little like in basketball, like they did a lot of rules changes where it kind of made it impossible to play a zone because they didn't like the way a game. Now they kind of did away with some of that stuff. Like there's the 3 second call in the paint. There's certain things where you can still play zone, but you still have to just avoid the 3 second call. I'm more okay with what you described in terms of the shift. Like, those two players have to be on one side and the other two have to be on this. That's a minor thing, and I guess I'd be okay with it. But I've always just thought this would sort itself out.
Wait,
like,
but the problem is
would
it
just
never,
adjust.
But the problem is it never does. So in other words, like Max Muncy, they're going to put all the fielders on the right side of the infield, and he's not going to bunt. And he's not going to take the bat out of his hands because he can hit home runs. He's not.
But he can drive it to the left side.
He won't do it.
If he's a left-handed batter and they put everyone over at first and second.
None of these guys will do it.
You got to double if you hit it to the left side of the infield.
Right, but you have to deal in reality. If they never do it, I know this, and it's like free throws in the NBA. You can't imagine that someone can shoot 40% from the free throw line, that they could be that stubborn. I've never understood it. Why something like Rick Barry used to shoot underhand and make 90% of his free throws. And he says nobody will try it now because they don't think it, quote unquote, looks cool. I would put on a pink tutu if I could shoot 90% from the free throw line. I don't care how it looks. Of course, people can drive the ball to the opposite field. They just either don't know how or won't do it. And if you're Major League Baseball, they hired Theo Epstein. We could have a whole long 2-hour conversation about all the things that are wrong with baseball, but most of them boil down to this. There's not enough action. There's not enough people on the bases. There's nobody steals anymore. Nobody hits and runs. All the pitchers and the defense, and they made a good move this year cleaning up that goop on the baseball stuff. You notice that all the numbers have come up.
Yep.
But any rule that discourages scoring or discouraging guys moving on the base paths, if you go to a baseball game, you can sit there for 10 minutes and never see anybody move. It's just it's batters swinging and missing at pitches, and it's the game. People like you and Mason don't want to hear this because you're baseball traditionalists.
I know,
but the game is boring. You've got to do things to liven it up. I don't understand people that think that baseball is fine the way it is, especially this year. Let's go to Larry in Temecula. Hey, Larry, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing? Hey, I got to tell you, I could not agree more with Ramona. I mean, first of all, Don, if you don't want to stay for innings 12, 13, 14, go home. Nobody's forcing you to stay there.
But Larry, you realize that's what people are doing.
John, the Dodgers drew 4 million people last year. Attendance all over Major League Baseball. I'm sorry.
It was two years ago, but I get your point.
Baseball attendance is up. Baseball viewership is up. The Dodgers signed a $25 billion television contract because people want to watch the games. There are a lot of traditionalists here, John. If you don't want to watch innings 12, 13, and 14, turn it off.
Larry, why do you think they hired Theo Epstein for $2 million a year to fix baseball if there's nothing wrong with it?
John, this is a matter of opinion. There's lots of things you can do to improve a product. It doesn't mean you have to change the core, basic, fundamental product itself. Putting a guy out at second base in the 10th inning just isn't – it's not fair and balanced. What happens if you come up in the top of the 10th and you've got the guy who's batting sixth in the lineup, you put him out at second base and then 7, 8, and 9 are coming up. You don't score, then the home team comes up in the bottom of the 10th, and you put the pitcher out on second base, and you got 1, 2, and 3 coming up.
I admit, Larry, it's a little gimmicky. I don't feel as strongly about that as I do about not using the shift. If you talk to baseball people, like people at the highest levels, if you talk to Jeff Passan, if you talk to Buster Olney, if you talk to Joe Torre, if you talk to Joe Maddon, they all want to get rid of the shift. They hate the shift. The shift is it would be. In football, imagine if you put all your defenders on one side of the field. It's dumb. You want guys that are big, powerful hitters to be able to swing to their strong side. And nobody did this in the baseball that we all grew up with. Nobody put 8 fielders on the right side of the field. Would you really be against outlawing the shift?
So to answer your question, I do not like the shift. I hate the shift. I think it sucks. However, agreeing with Ramona, you know, why don't the hitters enhance their game and learn how to hit the opposite direction?
Yeah, I don't know, but they won't do it.
The game do not. Well, maybe they ought to start, and maybe that would create more excitement in the game in itself, because then fans would sit there and look at that and say, look at these guys. They're finally learning how to hit.
Yeah,
they're finally attacking the shift. They're attacking the shift. They're improving their skill level. They're not trying to hit every ball out of the park. I mean, look, sometimes people think small ball is great. I mean, there was a game recently the Dodgers were playing, and some guy laid down a bunt down the third baseline, beat it out, and ended up coming around to score. So I don't like the shift either. I think it's part of the rules of the game.
Larry, you
can do it.
That's true. If you want to stay, thank you, Larry. It's a good call, by the way. Yeah, you're a good, passionate caller. But Ramona, I think that people that don't think there's anything wrong with baseball aren't watching the games. No, you know that nobody is on base, and when they get on base, they're not trying to do anything other than wait till the next guy hits it.
John, it's a little like in basketball how, you know, there's these ways of gaming the system with referees. You know, the plays that James Harden does where, he's a master at drawing fouls. Trae Young, James Harden, the sort of unnatural motions. And I think that's another thing when we're talking about Team USA, John, why they're losing these international games, because international refs don't give them those calls.
Yeah.
Like, they're not getting those calls. And I think in baseball, like, you see a lot of stuff that they're sort of gaming the system. You know why people don't do what I'm suggesting, which is hit the ball the other way? You know, if people shift on you, you hit the ball. Because the analytics say it is still better for you to try to hit home runs if you're Max Muncy than it is for you to just, you know, change the shift around and hit singles and doubles down the opposite field. The analytics say the home run is still more valuable, that your percentages of scoring a run are still so much higher that if you hit a home run X percent of time than if you hit a single or a double and have a little bit higher batting average. That's what the analytics say. It's a little, it's sort of like why people don't really, the same stuff goes on in the NBA. You don't like it. There's too many three pointers. There's too many free throws. There's too many what, right? It's changed the game to it's stylistic. So of the three things that you noted, the shift is the one I feel the least strongly about. It's a little, I think I would be okay if you just said these two people have to be on this side of the infield, those two people have to be on the other. I don't love it. I prefer it the way it is, but if stylistically you want to enhance that, it's the one I feel the least strongly about.
All right, so let me ask you a question. What's your absolute dream job? A genie pops out of a bottle and says, Ramona, you can have any job in the world. You want to be Prime Minister of England, you can do it. You want to be the lead writer for Vanity Fair, you can do it. You want to be the host of the Today Show. What pops into your head?
What pops into my head? I think I would like to run a European football club.
Okay.
Something like that.
Right.
I mean, honestly,
like
I'd
Ted Lasso, like yeah. The woman in Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
If I could make that dream come true, but you had to move halfway across the world, would you do it? What's more important to you, location where you live and being around your family and friends, or your career? It came up the other day on social media, and I'll explain next. Mason in Ireland, Ramona in for Mace, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This week, it's Momo in Ireland, Ramona Shelburne in for Mace. Coming up in about 10, 15 minutes is Radio Tinder. Lindsay will get in here, and we'll react to a bunch of stuff she's got. Ramona, I follow a lot of other sports announcers, a lot of other guys that do what I do. And the play-by-play guy for the Indiana Pacers is a guy named Mark Boyle. He's been around for a long time. He's a really good announcer. And he was giving advice the other day on social media. And one of the pieces of advice he gave to like somebody young who wanted to go into broadcasting is, hey, you got to go to where the work is. Most people in this business have moved around, and you know, you prove that you can do this in smaller towns and then you work your way up. And somebody who was a professor tweeted back at him, they say in higher education you have to move out to move up. Many of these move-out locations or universities are located in the middle of nowhere. I'm not taking a position in Wyoming to move up. And Mark's response to that was, I thought that was true in most professions. I worked in a variety of places, including the middle of nowhere in Montana, before getting to where I wanted to be. Comes down to deciding whether it's worth the sacrifice. That's the advice, Ramona, that I give people. You've got to send your examples of your work all over the country. Like, I grew up in Corona del Mar, one of the nicest places in the world, you know, down in Newport Beach. But I knew if I wanted to be a sportscaster, I was going to have to go to where the work is. I went to Monroe, Louisiana. I lived there for a year. I went to Beaumont, Texas. I lived there for 4 years. Is this really a thing that people don't want to, like, you've been fortunate in that you went to Stanford and then kind of worked your way up in L.A.
In L.A.
But had you along the way been given a chance to move up quicker, if you moved, would you have moved?
It depends. So my answer, you know, the real answer to the story is that I probably took a lot longer to quote unquote make it because I stayed in LA. Like I did have a couple opportunities to move and I didn't do it. And part of it was I didn't think they were quite good enough opportunities for me to really like say, yeah, I'm going to go. And two, I was dating Nevin at the time. And I sort of felt like if I left, and I was pretty sure we would end up getting married, but I was in my 20s and,
right. And
wasn't
if
quite
left,
ready.
You thought you'd lose
yeah.
him.
I thought yeah. I'd lose him. And I'm also really close with my parents. And so like to take the job and risk, you know, losing this, you know, this man who I was pretty sure I was going to marry and also be away from my family for a job that I was like, I'll tell you the real, okay. I was at the Daily News. I was the local columnist. It took me a really long time to get past that stage. Like,
right.
You know, I was at newspapers at the time where there was a lot of opportunities. There was, first we got hired, everybody had tons of opportunities. You can cover the Lakers and the Clippers.
Right,
and the
side. Right.
And then
you're
all
really
of a sudden
excited.
The bottom fell out, right?
Yeah.
And everybody was getting laid off or leaving. And I, you know, there was no opportunities. And they just basically told me to keep your local preps job and like it. You know, like you should be happy that you have anything.
Yeah,
you know,
everybody like, that was throughout that industry.
Yeah, throughout that industry. And I was getting really like, oh, man, I'm in my late 20s now. I really need to do something. And so I was hustling. I did an internship at KNBC. I was trying to make a lateral move. I mean, I literally had to take a work experience class just to have the internship. So I did a lot of like things that, you know, were sacrifices, like basically working without pay and taking a college credit
sure.
class just to work for free. But I had a job. One of my old bosses who had hired me at the Daily News, you know, said, would you be interested in covering the Jazz for the Salt Lake Tribune? And that was a huge opportunity, right? To cover an NBA beat.
Yep.
But it wasn't a sure thing. Like it wasn't like.
It wasn't a concrete offer. Like
no, it was like you could come out and interview and maybe you'll get the job. But it was also like. Did I really want to trade my whole, like, I always saw myself as if I didn't make it in media, I was going to, by the time I was like 30, if I didn't get a good break where I felt like I could build a career, I was going to go totally change gears and go get a Stanford job. Like I was going to go back to law school or it's going to be a consultant or, you know, something like that. And so I just felt like I don't want to risk my relationship, which I think I'm going to marry this guy. And I didn't want to be away from my parents too. And my whole family was here for something that was not like, okay, if I cover the Jazz for a couple years, does that mean I'm going to get another beat reporting job someplace? Not necessarily. What if I'm end up in Utah for the rest of my life? I wasn't ready to do that. I just felt like I had other options outside of it.
Lindsay, I've never asked you this. Why did you move to California?
For a job with NFL Network.
Right. So there you go. You were given mm-hmm. a chance to, your whole life is in Cleveland.
Yeah,
your family is in Cleveland. Now, in this case, you kind of got a climate upgrade. So it's not like if it was reversed, it would have been harder.
Mm-hmm.
But did you think twice about not taking it because your life was in Ohio?
Oh, I didn't want to take it. Like I was recruited. Someone reached out to me and it was after Fox did all those layoffs.
Right.
And Stu Mandel and Bruce Feldman, who I was their podcast producer at the time, they both like tweeted glowing things about me. Like, Lindsay's great. Someone should hire her. She's awesome. So someone from NFL Network reached out to me on social media and they were like, hey, we have this position, interested in talking to you about it. And at the time they said it could be a remote position. So I was like, I'll talk to them about it because it could be a remote job. Long story short, I did not want to take the job. And they talked me into coming out here to interview because I was like, I just bought a house. There's no way I'm moving to California. Like, just no, this is not happening. So then I came out to visit and I was like, oh, it's kind of cool here. And then over the course of like a couple weeks after talking with everybody in my family and whatever, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go move out there and give it a try because you never know. You know, like I could love it, I could hate it. And if I don't like it, I can always move back home.
Yeah. You also, but you weren't attached at the time, right? You weren't in a relationship that you were risking. Or were you?
Well, I was like on the tail end of a very, very long relationship.
Yeah, you
and
needed
at the end of the day,
you needed a change of lifestyle.
Exactly.
But you know what's interesting? Okay, so whenever people ask me, how do you get to where you are? Like, how can I get started in the business? The two tips I give them. I say number one rule: be humble and don't get outworked. Make sure you're like the hardest working person wherever you end up.
Yep.
And number two, be willing to go to where the work is. You know, you can't necessarily start in the city you want to end up in. You've got to go where you're going to get the most opportunities. And to hear somebody blow back at that and say, nope, it's more important to me that I stay where I want to live. I never really thought about that. I know there are people that feel that way. I just didn't know them.
Well, you were in your early 20s, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you weren't attached in any serious romantic relationship. So I think that does
that all plays into it.
Don't you think? I mean, if you were together with your wife at that point and you weren't necessarily married yet, but you were pretty sure she was the one, would you have done it?
Good question. I probably would have talked her into coming with me.
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you've met Lisa, you know, like me trying to talk her into going to Detroit probably would not have gone well for me. But we'll see. Okay, coming up next, Radio Tinder. By the way, the news keeps getting worse for Team USA in basketball.
Ugh.
I mentioned that they tip off in 20 minutes against Argentina in Las Vegas. Jason Tatum out with a sore knee. So there's another weapon. You know, we're already missing. There's no LeBron, no Steph. They got three guys playing in the finals that haven't joined the team yet. They've lost back-to-back games to Nigeria and Australia, playing a good Argentina team in 20 minutes, and now no Jason Tatum. We'll keep an eye on that. Radio Tinder next, 710 ESPN. All right, we do this every day at this time. Lindsay gets in here and gives us a bunch of stuff she wants us to react to. Lindsay, what do you got?
All right, guys. So Conor McGregor is being kind of ripped for his behavior before and after the UFC 264 main event against Dustin Poirier. Ali Abdelaziz, the longtime manager of lightweight champion Khabib, thinks that McGregor should be punished by the UFC for the trash talk that was aimed at Poirier's family. I'm sure you guys all saw the clips and heard everything he was saying, you know, famously like yelling at the end of the match when he was sitting there cage side with Joe Rogan, yelling about his wife. And
your wife's in my DMs.
Yeah, play that, Jorge.
Your wife is in me DMs, hey, baby.
Yeah, so he was going down with his trash
talk. Your wifey.
Your wife is in the DMs.
Your wife is in the DMs. Hey, baby.
Me DMs.
And that was just like the, you know, like that was just the beginning of it. He went on quite a tirade about her. But in an interview with MMA Junkie, Abdelaziz said, quote, "If I was Dana White, I would fine this guy $1 million. Dana should have guidelines. I know that Dana said we say mean things to each other, but can you imagine if somebody said that about Dana's wife? I know Dana doesn't give a bleep, but in reality, Conor's just completely wrong because this footage is for life. It's for life. Do you guys agree that McGregor should be fined for his over-the-top trash talk? Swipe left or swipe right?"
Ramona, what do you think?
Ooh, I like how you sent that to me first.
Well, I'll go if you want.
No, I don't think you should. I'm sorry. It's trash talk. That's what he does. This is Conor. And it's terrible. It's all, you know, like he's a jerk, but like that's the whole point. And I think he actually said to Poirier afterwards, "It's all business, mate." When he said something like that, right? It's all business. I mean, you shouldn't talk about another man's wife. You shouldn't talk about their family. But it's also like what combat sports is about. Like you're selling the fight. You're going heel, is what it is.
If you go back and listen to all this stuff Muhammad Ali used to say to Joe Frazier, you would find some of it pretty offensive. But Ali sold fights exactly like Ramona's saying. Momo, you're 100% right about this. Conor McGregor is a showman. He is trying to generate interest. You don't have to listen to him. I would not fine him $1 million. What I will say about Conor is he's lost three of his last four fights. I'm not sure he can fight anymore. And I'm Irish.
No,
I'd love
he
to
can't.
See him.
He can't
I Lindsay, I think that the guy should retire. I really do.
I feel like he might be forced to. I mean, the thing is, Dana White knows that he's like a moneymaker because, like, you know, this agent here, I guess he referred to him as like a prostitute. You know, he's a hype man and people watch because of the hype and all the stuff, the crap that he talks. But I do know, John, that you've said many times in the past when it comes to athletes and trash talking each other on the court and stuff like that, that you should always leave the wife and the family out of it.
Yeah, that's
but
how I
that
feel.
Not apply? Does that not apply here?
It probably does. But again, I mean, Conor's only as good as he can back it up. And I don't know if he can back it up anymore. So isn't he a guy just shouting from a rooftop? Isn't he a crazy guy shouting from the rooftop?
Kind of. I think that's kind of how people see him now. Yeah.
You to know, me, I mean, Ramona, I always say my rule with trash talk is kids, wives, families, off limits. anything else, say whatever you want.
Yep.
I just think when you cross that line, you're getting into dangerous territory.
Which he does often, right, but has always been able to beat people and win, and so it was overlooked.
Yeah. Lindsay, I think that the guy can't back it up anymore inside the ring, so he should probably just go away.
I think that the idea that, like, if a fighter said something like this about Dana White's family or wife or whatever, I think there would 100% be consequences, you know, both financially and maybe even, like, taking fights away or blackballing a guy or whatever. So I think in this case, like, considering how far Conor McGregor went, I think he should get some kind of fine, because I don't think that's, you know, I understand there's trash talk, but like you said, getting some of the things he said about his wife were pretty nasty. So, yeah, that's how I feel about it.
All right, what's next?
All right, a Turkish fitness model was reportedly banned from boarding a flight in Texas because her attire was deemed offensive. American Airlines employees found Denise Sapinar's outfit of denim shorts and a small brown tank top to be too skimpy to wear in the cabin. The woman shared her outrage on her Instagram stories, claiming that the staff called her naked and that her outfit disturbed other families at the airport. The woman said that she likes to wear feminine clothes that reveal her femininity, but never dresses in a way that will offend anyone. I sent you guys the photo.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
And her Instagram is DNZSYPNR, Denise Sipinar, whatever, however you say her name is, if anyone wants to check it out. Because I'm not posting, you know, I feel like it's kind of weird to post a picture of a girl, you know, like this on my Twitter account or my Instagram.
Hey, I gotta tell you, I've seen, I mean, yeah, she's probably a little scantily clad here, but I've seen waitresses at the Red Onion dress with less clothing on than this. There's no way I would have kicked her off a plane for wearing this.
Yeah. Ramona, what do you think? Is it too offensive?
Yeah, way too much.
Wait,
no
Ramona,
bra,
you...
see-through top, short shorts that if she bent down to pick up her tray something that fell off her tray table, you'd see a lot more.
Well, she's got a sweatshirt wrapped around her waist.
Yeah.
That's around the back.
So you would see
a lot more in the front. I mean, I don't know. That's
really,
too much.
Ramona, to
I
the point
she's
where...
barely wearing a top. I mean, she's basically going without a top on. I mean,
right.
I see everything.
And your issue is...
You can't, like, a woman cannot walk topless through an airport. I'm sorry.
What?
A man
she's,
can't
she's
walk
not,
topless through an airport.
They she's make, not they make topless. Put,
well, she
is
basically
wearing,
is.
I mean, it's like she's wearing a sports bra, which I feel like
not
nowadays.
Really. No.
Nowadays, it's kind of like a thing.
Like a sheer see-through sports bra.
Ramona,
sheer
see-through. Your problem is
this
that you're
is soft
a prude.
Core. This is softcore porn. I'm sorry.
No, this is
too
not
much.
Lindsay, this woman, I guarantee
you. You just want to sit next to her.
If no one else will take one for the team and sit next to this.
She can have a window seat.
Let's put it this way. I can see everything. I mean, that there is to see. There's not much left
if
for the
no
imagination.
One will, Lindsay, if no one will sit next to this woman, I will step up to the plate.
Come on.
I comfort her in her time of need.
Way too much. Way too much.
Lindsay, what do you think?
I think it's fine, and she obviously dresses like this. If you look on her page, she dresses like this everywhere she goes. So my question is, like, okay, if she wore this to, like, TJ Maxx or the Olive Garden or whatever,
right,
like, are people going to kick her out of those places for wearing this? I don't
Ramona
think
is.
Yeah,
apparently Ramona is.
Do you think the average place, like any in general, like CVS or whatever, would stop her and be like, hey, you have to leave because you're not wearing enough clothing? I don't think they would. Do you guys think they would?
I used to work in Hollywood. The hostesses wore less clothing than this girl.
Sure. So do you think that in LA that she would be stopped for wearing that outfit?
No, she wouldn't.
At any normal place.
No, she would not be stopped.
So why are
planes
different? Why is it different though? That's what I want to know. Why is a plane different?
Well, it's one in a, like, if you were at a restaurant or if you thought it was inappropriate, you could, like, walk away or leave. Like, a plane, you paid a lot of money for that ticket. And if you're sitting
but
there,
she's
and everybody
she's going to be sitting down the whole time. It's not like you're going to be forced to stare at her.
But okay, we do have dress codes on plane, by the way. You're like, guys are not allowed to go shirtless.
Yeah, I
okay?
just don't think this.
You're not allowed to wear
it.
Speedo. I mean, it's basically she's almost like shirtless with a Speedo on. That's what it looks like to me. Instagram page again?
Lindsay, I completely disagree, and I would support this young woman's right to wear this exact outfit on a flight next to me.
What is her Instagram again, Lindsay?
Her Instagram is...
it's not that racy. You can send this out.
No, don't.
Denise Sapinar. No, it's not that I don't want to send it out because it's racy. I just feel like it's kind of weird to have this...
Looks like girl out of context. It's a little weird.
Yeah, exactly. Like, right. Hey, what do you guys
tell me what it is? How you spell
out the link?
Like her Instagram thing.
Her Instagram is DNZSYPNR. DNZSYPNR.
Right,
I mean,
next?
This is how she dresses everywhere. I feel like it's
God
fine,
bless
whatever.
Her. She's a fitness model. Come on.
Yeah, yep. She looks good, and she says, you know,
fit,
she
Jorge.
She wants to show it off.
Congratulations! I don't want to sit next to that.
I look like that. I would
Ramona,
like
I will trade seats with
Put
you.
Put some clothes on. You know what? It's actually she's wearing more in her bikini pictures than she is in the photo you sent me.
But what's the problem if you don't like what she's
the
wearing?
The bikini
and
picture
don't look at
is
her.
Not. The bikini picture, but what if I bring my toddler on there? Or if what if I bring my, you know, there's an
what
old
about
lady
it?
On there. I don't want him looking at that.
She should be allowed to wear my
saw her in a public place.
I will
cover
sit
his eyes.
Young Daniel on my lap and introduce him to the fitness model.
Oh, she's wearing a short shorts, man, and a sweater around her waist. That's
that
it. Short shorts.
That top is see-through. It's
Ramona,
see-through. Come on.
You didn't spend any time at the Red Onion when you were younger, obviously. Please.
Listen,
Lindsay, one more?
If I looked like that, I would dress like that too. Okay, so last one here. This comes from the Am I the A-Hole Reddit, where an anonymous
favorite
woman writes,
Reddit, by
the
way.
Yeah, this is a good one. Quote, I explicitly told my fiancé that I've always wanted a small low-key wedding. When we got engaged, we had a long conversation which resulted in a compromise, and we were both happy with this outcome. We began making bookings, reservations, and paying deposits for the wedding, and it was all out of his bank account. The woman went on to say that her husband was from a different country with a separate culture from her own, and when his family got wind of some of the customs they had arranged for the wedding, they threatened to disown him for being a bad son. They argued for a while, and he tried to convince her to change her mind, but then threatened to call off the wedding if she didn't budge, before eventually ending the entire relationship. So the guy calls off the wedding, ends the relationship, they break up. A few weeks later, he contacted the woman, asking her to pay him back for half the money that he was unable to get back from the deposits because it was so close to the wedding. She said that since he was the one who called off the wedding, and even at this point, she said she would still marry him if they were to go back to their original compromise, but she doesn't think that she should be obliged to pay. Is she the a-hole?
No! Jeez, I'm surprised this guy asked her for the money.
Yeah.
He's the one who called it off. I have a friend. I have a friend who was going to get married, sent out all the invites. About a month before the wedding, his fiance, the woman, got cold feet. And she basically felt so bad about breaking him up that she gave him anything he wanted. Like, he took her dog. He took her house. I mean, if you're the one who's breaking it up, you have no rights. You have no rights to ask for anything. You're the one who promised you would marry this woman. I assume you asked her. And now you want half the money for what you're backing out of? How does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree. First of all, I don't think this is going to be a good marriage. If you can't make it through the wedding, probably shouldn't be getting married.
Right.
Okay? Like, at this point, you should know what his family cares about. Like, I mean, do you ever see my big fat Greek wedding? Like,
of course.
You know, the guy in that didn't want the whole big fat Greek wedding, but he loved her and he loved her family and he learned how to, you know, embrace it.
And he got a house out of the deal.
Yeah.
They lived next door to her parents. Totally agree.
You know?
Lindsay,
like,
that girl is not
too.
Even close to an a-hole. Not even close. Like, that guy is, like, the jerk in all this, for sure.
That guy is a cheapskate, because who
Thank
asks
you.
For the money back when you break up with her? I mean, along that same lines, like, okay, so they were engaged. He broke the wedding off with her. Should she have to give the ring back?
I always say no. I know other people say yes.
I've always
thought, if you want to keep the ring, since I called it off, you can keep it. Now, if it's a family heirloom, if it was like my grandmother's ring, maybe we come to some type of an arrangement. But if I'm the one calling it off, all right, if it's me that says, Hey, I'm sorry, it's not right. Then I kind of give up the high ground. I let her do whatever she wants. All right, we got to move on. Coming up next, baseball All-Star game tonight. You can hear it on 710 ESPN. Shohei Ohtani, last night in the Derby, put on a decent show, but he looks tired to me, and I wonder if we're asking him to do too much. We'll get into that coming up. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.